Well, happy Mother's Day to all of our moms and all of you who have moms. That should cover just about everybody. Many of you have met my mom. Her name is Jean Zylstra. She lives in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, about almost 500 miles from here. Because she is now 87 years old and has a lot of back pain and a lot of leg pain and a lot of neck pain and a lot of hip pain, and she leans heavily on my dad just to get from one place to the other, they haven't been making the trip to come down here, and they probably won't. But when I was growing up, my dad had the old 8mm film camera. Anybody have one of those? It had a light bar on it that was about this big, and it had four ginormous spotlights. And as I was preparing for today's message, which is titled, Can Jesus Make Me Clean? I got to thinking about some of the filthiest, dirtiest things that I could possibly imagine. And a few years ago, one of the folks from the church where my mom and dad go saw or heard that my dad had all of these reels of 8mm film stuck in a box someplace. And so she took all of those and put them on a DVD. And there is a clip in there that always reminds me of this whole concept of taking the filthy and making it clean. And I just want you to see it. By the way, that's me. And that's my mom and my bigger sister, Julie. And apparently that's all from me. Okay, it's just a short little clip, but most of you, well, some of you probably remember all of the mess and all of the yuck that was diapers. But of course, nowadays, if you're not using the Pampers or the disposables, then there's something wrong with you. And a lot of people don't have the time to give to washing, 50 diapers. And I don't know what it is about diapers. Those of you that have had little ones, you know that they are unimaginably filthy. I don't know what it is that comes out of a baby, but it is just horrible. The smell is nasty. It stains the diapers. And so, there's lots of times where, and the color, it's just awful. It's just awful. Cloth diapers, they can get really nasty, and then you put them in the bucket, the diaper pail. I don't know if you remember the diaper pail. That was a nasty, 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 filthy object as well. Unimaginable. At times, you never think that they will ever come clean. I don't know how my mom was able to do it, but she was able to keep those. I had to have been a bucket full of bleach all the time. All the time. But I also remember my parents teaching us kids that not only can you clean dirty diapers, but there is only one way that your soul is going to be cleaned. There is only one way that you are going to be cleansed on the inside. We can do all kinds of stuff to clean the outside, but there is only one way that you can clean the inside. Only God can clean the heart. Only God can cleanse the soul. Only God can take that which is inside of us and make it pure. But man, does that take a lot of faith. You see, only God can take our sinful nature and transform it so that we are pure as snow, as Scripture says. And we should pray for that cleansing because God cannot allow filth into heaven. He can't, because if he did, then it wouldn't be perfect. And my mom and dad drilled that into us. And we have, and I know that there are some families that struggle because they helped their children to know and love the Lord, and their children have tossed that aside. And I get that. I understand that pain. But we need to try to do our best to help our children and to help remind ourselves that God not only forgives our sins, that not only does he have the power to walk with us, and not only does he have the power to see us through our pain and to see us through the storms of our life, but he really, truly cleanses us. He sees value in us. He sees worth in us, even when nobody else does. Sometimes we need to be reminded of just how powerful Jesus is when it comes to cleansing us. This week, we're going to be taking a look at that whole idea. If you are reading through your book, it's actually supposed to be chapter 19. We're in chapter 19. Can Jesus make me clean? When chapter 19 of the Quest 52 book that we've been going through, Jesus demonstrates the power of cleanliness. And it's really always amazing to me how Scripture not only takes a spiritual concept, but it's demonstrative in a physical way. And this is no different than many of the others. You see, today, Jesus' power to cleanse is lived out as he encounters a man who is part of a group of people where by law they were required to proclaim themselves unclean. They had to live apart from the rest of society. They had to be in their own little colony. They were forced by law to live a separate life. They had a condition that was highly contagious. There was no cure for it. There were no doctors that could cure them. In fact, the reason that they had to scream unclean was because of the contagions. They were known as lepers. And they were viewed as the most outcast of society, the most filthy of society. They were viewed as people who would never be clean, who would never be healed, who would never be whole. In our modern world, leprosy has taken on a different name to make it a little less awful. We call it Hansen's disease. But our Hansen's disease is a little it's treatable. It's treatable. With multi-drug therapy and antibiotics, you can treat Hansen's disease. But the leprosy that is in Scripture is much, much more horrendous. There's a man by the name of Philip Yancey who went to a leper colony, found that many of the people in that leper colony had this Hansen's disease, and so he was able to get treatment for them. But what he discovered was most of the people, or many of the people with Hansen's disease, what really happens is the nerve endings that cause you to feel pain are destroyed. So you can put your hand on a stove, you don't even know that you're burning your hand. If a child is born with Hansen's disease, you could give them a knife, they could cut their hand, and they could be bleeding all over the place, and they do not scream out in pain because they do not feel pain. So you can see how that could become infected, especially if you had a scrape or a cut and dirt gets in it and you don't feel the pain, you don't know that you are hurt. You could break your leg and walk on your leg because it doesn't hurt. And some people would say, oh boy, do I wish I had no pain. No, you don't. No, you don't wish that. Because pain is one of those receptors that God has given to us to keep us away from pain. If you didn't ever feel pain, you would touch your hand on that stove and you wouldn't remove it and you wouldn't know why. Sometimes we need to thank God for the pain that we have. We need to thank God for the fact that we can feel pain because you really don't want the alternative. But Hansen's disease is medically treatable. That variant, though, that is in the Bible, and actually if you really want to read about it, all you have to do is go to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus 13 it's nasty, okay? It's one of those passages of Scripture that when you read it, you're looking at the things that God is saying about this infectious disease, and it's no wonder that they separated these people from the rest of the populace. It's graphic. It speaks of boils. It speaks of raw flesh. It speaks of white sores and white body hair. It's an infectious disease, and in the Jewish Midrash, which is sort of an addition to scripture with all of the traditions and all the laws, the rabbis talk about the fact that if you come up with somebody who has this infection, this leprosy, well, according to the Midrash, they are supposed to wear a mask that covers their mouth, they are, especially their upper lip, they are supposed to stay 6 feet away from others, or 150 feet if you are upwind of people. And you are supposed to yell, unclean. Unclean. Every time you come in contact, or you might come in contact with people. The reason that I spent some time talking about this and laying this out is because I want you to just feel the filth here. I want you to feel how a leper might feel when everybody else seems to be normal except for them. But they are the ones that are unclean. There are times also when not only were you cursed with leprosy because it was a physical thing, but if you were a good Jew, you knew that there were times in the Old Testament when leprosy was viewed as a punishment from God. There are at least three different times in the Old Testament where leprosy was spoken of. One of them was Miriam, Moses' sister, who was cursed with leprosy until the Israelites repented and God healed her. Naaman and Uzziah were also cursed with leprosy until they found a way to be cured by God. Moses himself was asked by God to put his hand in his cloak, and when he pulled it out, it was completely white with leprosy. And then when he put it back in his cloak, God healed his hand. So leprosy in that era and in that world was not only viewed as physical uncleanness, but many times they thought, my soul is unclean and I'm being punished by God. And that is the person that we have in the text that we're going to be reading. A person who had leprosy, and Jesus dealt with this leper in his ministry. I want you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to excuse me, Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to read just a few verses of this. Mark chapter 1, starting with verse 40. And then we're going to pull it apart just a little bit. Let me give you a little bit of context before I read this. This is very early in Jesus' ministry. He has barely called his disciples to come and follow him. He has contacted those men and said, I will make you fishers of men. You just need to come and follow me. I mean, he is just starting. He has already driven out some evil spirits. We talked about that. He did that on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. I mean, he broke every rule and every social construct at that moment. The Pharisees started to hate him right away. And then he goes around and he starts to heal different people. He knows what their pain is and he takes away, he removes their pain, but he doesn't remove it permanently because all of them at some point eventually will die. But he turns the tables, if you will, or turns on its head the curse of Satan, the destruction that Satan offers. But people started coming to him because of all of this cool stuff that he was doing, all of this healing. And so he stepped out of the towns and he discovered that he couldn't go into a lot of the towns because when he did, the first thing that they wanted to do was beg him, please, heal me. And Jesus wanted to present to them a gospel message, not just be viewed as this incredible physical healer. And so when we come to this passage of Scripture, all of these other things are going on. The disciples are trying to figure out who Jesus is and what his mission is all about. Jesus is saying, we're going to have to go to some of the nearby villages because I need to preach there as well as in these villages of Capernaum and others. And so they are heading to some of these villages. And then we come to verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's significant. Tuck that back in your brain a little bit. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus went away at once with a strong, or sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. I want you to imagine this scenario as Jesus is beginning his ministry. His reputation as a healer is really starting to become unknown, and somehow this unclean person heard about Jesus. And in his unclean state, in his state where he thought, it is impossible for me to be clean, whatever that state is, we don't know how advanced his leprosy was, and it really doesn't matter. This man saw only one hope for his life, and that one hope was to come to Jesus. Now, everybody else, when this man would approach Jesus, do you know what they would do? They would scatter. They would run away. Why? Because that's what you were supposed to do. This man was considered untouchable. He was unredeemable. He was incapable of being healthy again. There was no reason that this man should be there. And so when he came up to Jesus, I imagine that there was all of a sudden this whoosh, parting of the Red Sea, if you will, as people ran. We don't want to be around this leper. We don't want to catch what he's got. We don't want to catch his uncleanness. A while ago, this was several years ago actually, I was talking to somebody and it was about graduation time. And they said, "If you could go back to high school, would you do it?" And I said, "Only if I could go back knowing now what I know. I wouldn't go back and just relive those days just because, you know, I was younger." Because I said I wasn't a very nice person. And it wasn't that I was mischievous or mean or ornery, but I had that holier-than-thou attitude. I didn't want to be around those unclean people in my high school because I didn't want their uncleanness to rub off on my cleanness. Because I was a preacher's kid. I was supposed to be different. I was raised to know and to love the Lord. And all of those other kids in my class who I was pretty sure didn't. Talk about arrogance. Boy, if I could go back, I would change that in a heartbeat. Because that's the way a lot of people are when they are around somebody who is unclean. I don't want to be around that unclean person because I don't want their uncleanness to rub off on my holiness. But this man approached Jesus, and even though everybody else scattered because they didn't want to get the disease, what did Jesus do? He just stood in one place, let the man come to him, and heard him. "If you are willing," the man said, "you can make me clean." Do you notice the phraseology there? He didn't come and say, "Would you please heal me? I've got this horrendous disease that has separated me from society. I am a filthy pile of manure as far as humanity goes. If you could just take away this uncleanness, just heal me of leprosy." No. He said, "Can you make me clean?" And Jesus has the power to do that. But it had to start with compassion. Because when Jesus took a look at this man, that's exactly the eyes that he saw this man with, the eyes of compassion. He looked, he was not repulsed, he was not agitated, he was not nauseated, he was not judgmental of the guy, he was not legalistic, he didn't start spewing the law saying, you can't be around me unless you're wearing a mask and you're 6 feet away, and if you're upwind of me, you better be 150 feet away. He did not judge the man for his uncleanness. He loved him. He was not disgusted, but he loved him. He did not see the unlovable as the way they have always been seen by everybody else. But he saw this man as somebody worthy of being loved. Wow, if that doesn't just hit you right where you live, I don't know what will, because too many times we have this balance and this scale. You know, we judge people based on our own interpretation. Are you worthy of my love? Are you worthy of my love? Yes, no, whatever. There isn't anybody that's not worthy of Jesus' love. And then he asks us to do the same. So in the text, the first thing that it says, when the man came to him and said, if you're willing, can you make me clean? Jesus looked upon him with compassion, and then that compassion prompted action. Jesus reached out and touched the man. Are you kidding me? You don't touch a leper. Well, you do if you're Jesus. He touched the man who could spread this life-threatening disease to him. The idea is not that he touched him from far away. He didn't just kind of walk up and sort of go, you know, kind of like when you're in the car with your sister. He's touching me. You know, that. No, this word touch is more of a he hugged the man. He touched him. He took hold of him so that he could be healed. You see, sometimes the people that feel the filthiest and the dirtiest in our life, they need a hug from somebody who's not afraid of the power of God. And then not only did he teach or touch the man, not only did he have compassion on the man, but then he spoke powerful words to the man. And those words are very simple. I am willing. Be cleansed. He didn't need to have a big, you know, 20-minute description of everything that was going to happen. He just simply allowed his power to counteract the disease. You see, too often we don't think that God is willing to cleanse us. We don't think that God has the power. We don't even take our issues to God. We don't pray about it. We think, oh, maybe it'll go away in a few days. I'm not going to bother God with my problems. Why? He already knows. Sometimes we need to get a little bit over ourselves. And Jesus did use his power so that this man could be clean. Too often we don't think that God really understands the extent of our filth. We know what our past was like, but he can cleanse that. He doesn't just forgive us of our sins, but he cleanses us of our sins. And we need to believe that he has the power to do the impossible. And then Jesus had a request for the man. Don't tell anybody else. Now that may seem a little bit odd and a little bit strange, because doesn't he want people to know about him? Well, yes, he wants people to know that he is the Messiah and that he can do more than just cleanse the outside of the body. He wants them to know that he can cleanse the inside as well. He tells the man, go through the official channels, go to the priests, let them see you, offer the appropriate sacrifices. Those are all in the Old Testament, everything that he's supposed to do. Let them declare you whole. so that you can return to society, so that you can maybe have a wife and have children, so that you can go to the temple, so that you can worship with other people, so that you can have a job. But you can't do all of that. You can't go to the market. You can't go to the synagogue. You can't do any of those things until the priest declares you clean. So take care of that. The only thing Jesus asked of him was, don't spread the news around. And scholars surmise that Jesus simply asked that because he didn't want followers who were simply consumers. The only reason I'm going to go to Jesus is because of what I can get out of him. I need healing. He can give me healing. Boom. I'm right there. Jesus doesn't want followers who are consumers only. He wants disciples. He wants people who will stand in the gap of this world and love the unlovable. Not because it gains us any brownie points, but because it's what Jesus would do. But the man couldn't contain himself. Instead of going to the priest, the man ran around telling everyone everywhere about Jesus who had the power to make him clean. You know, that's the beauty of being cleansed by God. You can't stop spreading the gospel. And people clamored to Jesus for healing. So much so that the scripture says Jesus couldn't even enter a town openly, but had to stay outside. You know, I find that interesting because that's exactly where the lepers were, outside. So what about today? Is Jesus still able to clean the ones that we have deemed undesirable or unclean, or those that we think Jesus can't redeem, those that are beyond what we think Jesus can heal and touch and cleanse? Can Jesus' cleanness still rub off on the filth of this world? The answer is yes. Now, we may not see that as a possibility in some people's life. We may see somebody as just evil incarnate, and there is absolutely no way that God can break through that. We need to believe that Jesus has the power to cleanse even the completely uncleansable by our standards. And sometimes he even calls on us to be willing to be the vehicle through which his power of cleansing can be given to the rest of the world. He needs us to stop running around afraid of the diseases that we might catch from somebody else. He doesn't want us to live a life of fear that their uncleanness is going to rub off on our holiness and somehow make us unworthy in the eyes of God. We need to trust in his power. We need to have the compassion that he has. We need to touch the unlovable and the unclean. We need to love them with the power of Jesus because he can restore to wholeness anybody. Now, just because he has the power to do that, none of this would have happened if the man hadn't come to Jesus first and said, "Can you and will you make me clean?" Jesus didn't go out looking for him. Sometimes we think that that's our job, is just to go out and look for the filthiest people that we can possibly find. And I'm not talking about, you know, dirt. I'm talking about in the heart. And that may be what you are called to do. But for a lot of us, you don't have to go looking for it. Filth is going to find you. Our job is just to remember that we are living in the power of Jesus Christ. We are living in the wholeness that he has given us, and we need to let people know that Jesus can restore your relationship, he can restore your life, he can restore your family, he can restore your faith, he can restore your desire to do the will of God. He has that much power. Are you willing to be in tune to that power if he needs you to bring that gospel message to a sin-darkened world? if you're going to be pursuing Jesus, pursue him in his name.